We can just settle down. I believe it is already snowing in South Armagh and I want to get home tonight. No, it's snowing in South Armagh. Now, Henry, I will note your comments. Thank you. Have we any apologies for tonight's meeting? Okay. And Councillor Hart and Councillor Bailey. Okay. Okay, councillors, this is pretty much a one-item agenda. Just before we start, I want to acknowledge that this is Councillor Burns's last night, and I think he wants to say a few words. I've told him that I'm going to cut him off after about 3 hours, so everybody settle down. Councillor Burns.
It'll be fairly deep snow in Armagh. I'd like to say a few thank yous before I go. To mainly, I suppose, the people that's most important, the staff and the officers here, Liam, all your squad, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure working with you. You are the second group of staff that I've had the pleasure of working, from the old council to the new council, and really you are very dedicated. And I know everybody gives council staff an awful hard time. They never do this and they never do that. Certainly when you're here and you see what's being done, it is a credit to you. My very first council meeting that I came into, I was afraid to speak because I was told that, you know, these people, you know, they're very intelligent and intellectual guys. And I suppose on that point, I'd like to thank all the councillors for playing dumb for the last 7 or 8 years. It's much appreciated to come down to my level. I found you all great to work with. I hope that we'll be able to stay friends for a long time in the future. I've really enjoyed working together, and I don't think there's any issues that we can't really get through. We see all the stuff between political parties and on the TV and stuff like that, and they think that it's World War. It's never like that in reality. And anybody was at the recreation meeting the other day when me and Billy were having a bit of a bromance. Well, no marriage equality's on the cards now as well. I particularly like to pay tribute to my own colleagues here. A fine bunch that they are. It's been great to work with you. The guys from Newry and that, we didn't really know each other at the start, and we formed a really good bond, and it's been really good fun, and I do honestly wish you all the best in the future and wish you well. And to the people coming in placement, I suppose the measure of a councillor is who they replace them with. So on that note, I'd like to thank Rushing and John all the best. You know, I think they've got a hard job in front of them, but I think they're the right people. So just for the last time, thanks very much, and I wish you all the best in the future.
All right, Stevie, thank you very much for that. Sorry, Henry, you want to come in?
No, I just wanted to say that Councillor Burns, well, he's Sinn Féiner, he wasn't the worst of them. To be honest with you, I always find him very sensible and reasonable in his way, so I wish him well for his future.
Thanks for that, Henry. Andrew?
Sorry, thank you, Chairman. Just sort of joining in the love in a wee bit here. I just want to thank Stevie. I'm a bit of a blue in the Castle Realm, and I'm a bit of a blue in to this council, but he's always been very welcome and always helped me along, and I just want to thank him. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on from this tonight, but we will. Laura.
Thank you, Chair. I'll keep it brief and just maybe to add to everybody else's praise, Stephen, to thanks, I suppose, on behalf of the SDLP. I suppose a lot of councillors here might know is that me and Stephen went to school together and were very good friends, and even whenever he jumped ship and joined Sinn Féin, we still decided to be friends throughout it all. So I suppose, listen, Stephen, good luck with everything with your family. All right.
Okay, and then we'll have a group hug afterwards in the breakout meeting. Harry, come on, let the love flow, come on.
No, just to say all the best, Stevie, it's always been a pleasure to work with, and no doubt we'll see you somewhere along the line, but wish you all the best, thank you.
And we better finish it off, because I wouldn't want UUP to say we didn't let them come in. Come on, Jim.
Just from the UUP, just party group, and all the best, Stephen, and your future, and wish to you and your family.
They never told us that, Charlie, did they? Yeah. Mm. You didn't have the thumb screws tighten your up, Charlie. Okay, have we any declarations of interest? None. Okay. Well, then, on behalf of the council, I would like to welcome Dr. Tracy Power and also Dr. Joss Itella, I hope that is correct. And we are going to have a presentation at the minute, and Dr. Tracy Power is going to lead the way on that.
Yes.
Okay, just finish up my own.
Okay. Yeah, you're on now, yeah.
Technology. This is an amazing. I'm just enjoying it. I feel like I'm on the stage. I might get up and do a wee tune or something. Thank you very much for inviting us. We've been doing this presentation all around the country, and you see on the screen, if we have the screen, that usually gets four people, but you are clearly hard-working people out in the council, in local government. Central civil servants don't often come out to work in the evening, so you're just getting me and Joss today, but hopefully you'll be able to cover and ask your question, and you can answer your questions. Also, I'm only back tonight from a couple of weeks leave, so I might be out of the loop on some of the developments that have happened in the last couple of weeks as Joss and his colleagues have gone around the country, so please go easy on me. If I can't answer your questions, we'll certainly come back to you with any information you need. So I believe I have about an hour, but maybe you want me to shorten it down a wee bit. You're probably most interested in the results and the discussion of the actual results of the area. Normally we do a bit of an intro talking about the process and so on. So if you don't mind, I'll race through those bits so that we can get really good time for the actual results for this area. So there's the purpose you can see there. We'll go through those things, and as I say, quite quickly. We developed this presentation for the launch day back in November, and I don't know if you know, but official statistics are launched at 9:30 precisely on the dot, and we had a media day with the media in the room, so we had to kind of measure, we had to kind of talk to them just before 9:30, so we got the results at 9:30, so that's why there's all these other little bits and pieces, but I'll run through quickly, and then sure, if there's anything you want me to go back on that I went through too quickly, we can do. Okay, so hopefully you're no strangers to spatial deprivation and the measurement of spatial deprivation. You can see that we've been doing this for a number of years. For the last 3 years before this one, and then including this one, we've used what's called the NOBLE methodology, developed in Oxford, and it's also the same methodology as the rest of the UK. We'll get on to later why it's not precisely the same in terms of the indicators used and the timing, etc. The methodology, the sums, and the way of doing it is the same. We have 7 domains of deprivation, which remain the same since 2010, the last time we did it, and you'll be familiar with those, and we'll go into those in a little bit more detail. And they are weighted together to give the overall multiple deprivation measure. And they're weighted together in those ways that you see on the slide there, and I can talk about that in more detail later if you're interested. So we updated in 2017. It's been a long time since 2010 in terms of the update, but we waited for the reconstitution of the local government and other various factors before we were commissioned to update it. And one of the main things about updating is to revise again the indicators. So we were furnished at the beginning of this project with recommendations from 2010 from the group that did it before, and also a lot of new data sources that may help us out in terms of the indicators. So if we are going to change the indicators, and we did, and I'll come on to that in a minute, each indicator must have all of these characteristics that you can see on the screen. I'm not going into them in any detail, but basically we need really good data that can be examined down to small area level for the whole of Northern Ireland. There's the governance. That's kind of important. Joss and I and colleagues didn't sit in NISR headquarters and do all this stuff by ourselves. In fact, we couldn't have done it all by ourselves because the expertise that others brought to the table was absolutely central to the work that we did. We had 7 domain groups, So as you saw before, there are domains leading into multiple deprivation score. Each of those domains, including an urban-rural dimension, had a set of experts that knew about data, that knew how to combine data, knew about the quality of the data. And then we also had a steering group, which I chaired. We had a number of meetings which made all the major decisions, and you can see the representatives. There was actually a rep from your own council area, Heather McKee, who was on the steering group. And the discussion there, you can see, wide-ranging in terms of the interest that people brought to the table, urban, rural, and lots of other groups. And we had great long discussions. And there were also two public consultations that council might be aware of. The first one was around geography and what geography we should put the data out at. Bearing in mind that RPA had created new electoral wards that you will be very familiar with, but we were working with statistical geographies. So we did a consultation and we got everyone's views. And there was a trade-off between comparison over time, but if we were to drop the statistical geographies, then we would have comparison, better comparison over space, but not time. So what we did, the result of that was that we produced the data at SOAs, and we'll come on to what those are in a minute, but we are going to be producing estimates for wards and DEAs. Then we had a second consultation just over a year ago now, which was on the actual indicators to use. There was a lot of work that went on in terms of trying to find new indicators and going out to consultation to ask people what they thought and also to get lots of other ideas of indicators. And the results of both of those consultations in great detail are published on the NISR website under the deprivation page. So we think what we've done that we've done well in terms of improving some of these measures, and that's a list of them on that slide, and people have access to the slides afterwards for more detail. Well, a couple that I would like to draw your attention to, though, are specifically the income deprivation domain. So in 2010 and the previous 2 years, we're using the NOBLE methodology. Income deprivation was measured by looking at people in receipt of certain benefits. Now, there's no doubt that benefit receipt can be a very good proxy for overall income in the absence of anything else to measure, so that's what was used before. But in the past couple of years, data have become available to us through the good offices of the Department for Communities, which measures at a household level in Northern Ireland actual incomes from benefits, which is the same as before, but also income from HMRC records, from self-assessment, and from other sources. So the income domain now, we feel, has improved the ability of the deprivation scores to target the relative deprivations around income, and some of the numbers will show that. Some of the areas will have definitely changed in terms of their rankings on the income domain. Another domain which we worked very hard on as a result of a large interest in the rural aspects of deprivation. Myself and my colleague Brian had had a number of visits to the Agriculture and Rural Development Committee in Stormont and gave evidence around the measurement of rural deprivation. And what we did was we improved the access to services domain by firstly adding data on access to broadband. If Brian were here, he lives in Ballinhinch, and he says that he understands the importance of this to people, because that's how many people access services nowadays. They don't necessarily get in their car and drive to a shop, they order on the internet. So access to broadband is very important. And we also then added for the first time access to public transport. So we always had the access to private transport indicator in the deprivation indices, but now we've added in the access to public transport. And this was a very complex model which DRD, as was, helped us with in terms of how far it is to walk from the centre of a postcode to the nearest bus stop, and then how regularly buses come along, and how far it would then be for a bus to get you to your GP or your FE college or whatever. So we feel we've really improved specifically the income domain and the access to services domain. And through the consultations, there was a lot of support for the changes that we intended to make. I suppose there's another point we could make here, in that the steering group agreed the set of indicators before we saw any numbers. So the steering group wasn't presented with a list of options around here's what the numbers would show. Steering group agreed the indicators up front. And you can see some other improvements that we made to other domains. I'm going to go into those if you want. How the measures can be used. We like to, when we're going around talking to people, be very clear about what the measures are and what they can be used for and what they can't be used for, because they're not easy to use. They're not something which intuitively somebody can just pick up and be able to expertly use very quickly, which is why we've deliberately built in these high-level kinds of briefings, but also we're going to be providing a lot of training for your officers and a large number of people in community and voluntary groups that want to come along and actually get into the middle of the numbers. But what the measures are is they're ranks of relative deprivation from 1 to 890, which cover the 890 super output areas in Northern Ireland, 1 being the most deprived and 890 being the least deprived. And they are set out then for the 7 domains for each of those 890 SOAs, and the multiple deprivation measure as an overall score. So you can look at the relative deprivation of areas by comparing them with each other, and you can say which are the most or which groups are the most or least deprived, and you can put those on maps and you can see the spatial distribution. You can also look, because we've kept it at SOA level, you can see the changes between 2010 and 2017 in terms of areas which have perhaps joined the most deprived areas or left the most deprived areas. What you can't do, though, is this isn't about individuals. These are spatial measures of deprivation. So they're about looking at the data within small geographies. So they're area-based. So there will be deprived people that live in seemingly non-deprived areas and vice versa. Deprived areas, there will be a number of more affluent people living within in those deprived areas. So the difficulty here is that people like to talk about how areas have improved or worsened over time. And there are some difficulties with that, in that absolute changes in deprivation cannot be derived from these measures. So just because an area might have changed its rank, it has changed its relative ranking and not necessarily its absolute level. You could go up or down depending on how other areas have changed. Having said that then, they're still very, very useful measures, and as you know, they're used for policy making in government and also for local policy making and resource allocation. And with that in mind, then, one of the big things that we've wanted to do this time round, and you'll see I'm going to talk now about the 100 most deprived areas in Northern Ireland. The two big messages that we want to get out to people when we're coming and talking to you are, firstly, we're trying to encourage people to use the domains and not the MDM necessarily. So too long in government, we feel that the top 20% of deprived areas on the multiple deprivation score have been listed in numerous documents as being the most deprived areas, and that's kind of like a lazy way of always having the same areas despite what policy you might be addressing. What we are saying is there is an MDM, we provided an MDM, and indeed I'm going to talk about it in a minute. But we are very much encouraging both funders and applicants for funding to look at the other domains, and I'll show you why that would give you a different results to the MDM. So that's our first issue. Use all the domains. The other issue is that you don't necessarily have to use the 20%. You can use the 10%. And as you can see, we've concentrated in our publication, this little document that you have, and in this presentation on the top 100, which is kind of like about 12 or 13%. 100's a nice number because we all can understand hundreds. So given that there's 890 in Northern Ireland, the top 10% would obviously be 89, and the top 20% would be 178. So, where are the top 100 most applied? I don't know if you've looked at this little booklet before, but this is it's a lot of these slides that are in this presentation are kind of either in the booklet and are summarising. So the 100 most deprived SOAs in Northern Ireland are listed on the slide. And you can see yourselves down at the bottom there in terms of 8 SOAs. But there are different numbers of SOAs in... I have got the right one, haven't I? I can't see if I've got it there. So there are different numbers of SOAs in Northern Ireland, in district councils. So you can see that although Belfast has the most deprived 50 out of 100, 50% of 100 most deprived areas, when you superimpose the actual number of SOAs that are in there, see we've got our cell ranges there, but you can see that Belfast and Derry actually have, if I remember rightly, about 28% and 27% respectively of their areas are in the 100 most deprived. So what we're saying is that just because Belfast has more, it actually has more SOAs to start with, and you in Newry-Morne and Down have I can't see, they had 8 out of 84, so you've got about 10 or 11%. So that's the names of all the 100 most deprived SOAs. You'll see those in your booklets, too small to see on the screen. But the important point is that compared to 2010, 20 of these SOAs have come into the top 100 that weren't in it before. They're in the lower half of the top 100. So what that says is that the top half of the top 100 are fairly stable. They were in the top 100 in 2010. And you can see the 20 that have come in. So 20 have come in and 20 go out as well. And those are the 20 that have left the top 100 since 2010. And in fact, they're all still within the top 20%. Remember I said 20% would be 89 times 2. So they're still in the top 20%. So even though we've made, I think what the message here is, even though we've made these changes to indicators and we feel we've improved the measurement of deprivation, there's still a high degree of stability in Northern Ireland in terms of the super output areas which are in the most deprived groups. As I said earlier, we are very much encouraging you to look at more than just the multiple deprivation measure. So let's look at the other domains. The one that we've picked out is access to services because it is a very different, it gives a very different pattern in Northern Ireland. As you can see, Belfast actually has no suburban areas that are in the top 100 deprived on this domain. You would expect that, of course, because access to services, including access to broadband, is going to be is going to show more deprivation in the rural areas. SOS will bring up any figures we want later. What's happened here is that the link to the Excel has been broken in the system, but we have all the numbers here, and SOS will show you anything you want to know about your own area when we get to that part. The issue, though, here is that if you were to go outside the 100 most deprived areas, and let's look at Tully Happy there. You see that's one of yours, Newry-Morne and Down. We've been using Tully Happy as an example as we've gone throughout Northern Ireland. It always gets a bit of a giggle because it's a very kind of cute name. But you obviously know where Tully Happy is. We don't know. You guys know where Tully Happy is?
Yeah.
So Tully Happy is on the multiple deprivation measure outside the top 300. So it's in the middle of the range on the MDM. I'm hoping that kind of accords with what you guys would know about it on the ground. But it is particularly bad compared to a multiple deprivation measure on access to services, I'm assuming it's in a rural spot, and on the income domain. So you can see there on the income domain, Tully Happy falls within the top 100 most deprived areas. So there will be a lot of households in that area on a low income. The income domain is defined as under the 60% of the median, 60% of the average income for Northern Ireland. So we'll get into discussion later on, but hopefully that kind of accords with how you would characterise that area. So this slide then illustrates the same point in a different way. When we went up to Derry, this picked out some of the Derry SOAs, showing that even though an area can be quite relatively undeprived and not deprived, you can pick out areas where there are things going on. So what we're saying is each area is now, we've given you the data for all of the areas in terms of all of the domains, and you can pick out what's going on and target better policies towards those areas than you would if you just use the MDM. So for example, let's look at East in Derry City and Staban. It's number one on the MDM, i.e. on the MDM it's the most deprived in the whole of Northern Ireland. But you can see that actually its access to services is good. It's obviously in a urban spot. And its living environment is actually not in the top 100. On the other end, down there at the bottom, number 10, the overall MDM, Creggan Central, it's actually doing pretty well on access to services as well. And on crime and disorder, it's not in the top 100. So hopefully I'm getting the message across to you here, which is if you were to just use the MDM, it's a blunt tool and it will not show you the relative differences in small areas, in particular things that are going on. So for example, you could have a problem in some areas in education, but not in areas, other seemingly similarly deprived areas, or you could have problems with health. So we're saying to people, look at the data very carefully, and you as the council area will want to do that because you will have areas that differ in terms of the main problems that they're experiencing. This is just a little chart which is in the booklet as well, which shows the overlap between the multiple deprivation measure and the other domains. It's just to explain the same issue. So Yoffa's done some numbers for you specifically for coming out here this evening to explain a little bit more about what's going on in your area.
Okay. Thank you. If we go back first to the top 100 most prized SOAs, super output areas, I can highlight the ones that are in these local government districts. So there is 8 of them, the first one starting in Crossmaglen at 57. 6 of them are new in this 100 most deprived ones, and overall there's in the total 84 super output areas in Newry Mourne and Down, and 8% of them are in this top 100. You've also seen maybe the card that tells you the top 10 in each of the domains of the SOAs within Newry Mourne and Down, and ranked accordingly, so you can use that for targeting within your own area. There's also some other products that we have produced. So we have a lot of information. We have all these domains. We have all these 880 super output areas. So there's a lot of information to delve into, and I'll come to that in a moment, doing some demos about the online resources. We have these summary sheets, but we also are doing the user engagement. So that's what we're doing at the moment, going around every council. We'll be going to do a talk on the 6th of March in Newry, I believe, where the general public can get this kind of presentation as well. So this is what we're doing. So published in November, and this is what we're doing for the 6 months thereafter. But still to come is also the small areas. So these are smaller than the super output areas at the time. So there's on average about 5 small areas in each super output area, and that allows you to get into the real small pockets of deprivation. The average population is 410 people, but 200 households or so. We're also going to be doing estimates measures for the new electoral wards, because of the way the boundaries are drawn, the super urban areas or indeed the small areas don't fit exactly into those new boundaries. But we're trying to come up with the best measure for that, because from our consultation we know that there's a user's need for that. We're also going to do a deprivation measure for children only, and we're going to prepare some recommendations for future updates. So there's been some things that came up either in these type of presentations or in the consultation that we think is worthwhile to do for the next update. Finally, we're going to also look, following on from the responses, to look at the relationship between population decline and deprivation, whether one caused the other or whether they're unrelated. The online resources, I'm going to talk about three small resources here. There's an analysis package, which is in a file that can be downloaded from our website. And it looks a bit like this, so it's a bit like a dashboard with different elements of it. If I break it down, it starts off with the first description of the multiple deprivation measures, and each on this circle, there is the different domains. So it gives you a bit of a description of what it entails. Then it gives you the top 10 of that particular domain, in this case, and the multiple deprivation measures of that. And from that, you can select one of those areas to find out the rankings on each of the different domains. So by default, it starts off with the number one, which is East, Darius-Tauban, and it shows you a nice map on the side with a dot on it to tell you where it is. And from that list of 10, you can select another one. So you move it over to New Lodge, the dot on the map moves over to Belfast, and all the ranks on each of the domains changes accordingly. There's also a selection for either local government districts or parliamentary constituencies. So this is the map for Northern Ireland, and it gives you a bit of a description of the Northern Ireland, the number of super open areas within it, and the population range there as well. And from that you can select a local government district. As default, alphabetically, it starts with Antrim Newton Abbey, but from that list you can select New Morne and Down. So it will tell you on the map where New Morne and Down is, which you probably know, and it gives you a bit of a spread about the different sizes and the super output areas. Alongside as well is a distribution of where all the SOAs within that local government districts are distributed on the deprivation scale, so what percentage of SOAs are in the top 20%, the next 20%, up until the least of 20%, and that can be changed into the deciles as well, which can be done accordingly. And then on the far right, there is a table where you can select any super output areas within the local government district and get the rankings, including the multiple deprivation measure for each of them. Again, default, it starts alphabetically with analog 1, but you can pick any one from that and change the value box, and you get different ranks for that. So it'll be a quick way to, if you're familiar with the areas and the names, to run through and see the particular issues, the particular rankings for those ones. If we move back to the top one as well, if you want to look at the different domain, you can select from the drop-down a different one. So in this case, living environment. What happens is the wheel spins and you get a new description of what that domain entails. And again, the top 10 in that domain updates, and from that you can select again a different area that you're interested in. There's also an interactive map, which is might be a bit more useful if you're not familiar with the particular areas and where the boundaries are, because it is what it says. It's a map, in this case, it starts off with Northern Ireland. Again, default by the multiple deprivation measure, where the darker coloured areas are the most deprived and the lighter coloured areas are the least deprived. But from this map, you can, again, select and filter from that if you want to look at a different domain. In this case, we move it over to the income domain and the map updates. So if I flick back and forth, you can see how the different colours change, because we're now talking about a different domain rather than the multiple deprivation measure. What you can also do is filter down to either local government district, parliamentary constituency, or health and social care trusts. And of course, for this case, we're going down to New Morne and Down. So the map zooms in a bit, and it will just highlight those SOAs within that area. So now we're talking about income deprivation in New Morne and Down. From that, you can select one of the SOAs by simply clicking on it. In this case, we're going back to Tully Happy. And then a table appears on the bottom right-hand side that shows you, for that particular area, all the rankings on each of the domains, as well as at the bottom, it will show you the urban-rural classification and the population of the latest population estimates. So it's a quick way, if you're not familiar, but you do know the road network. If you look closely, you can see the road network in the background on it. You can quickly find your areas and areas that border as well. And finally, we have the detailed tables. So these are the tables that have all the domains, all the ranks, all the indicators, the ranked indicators, but also the raw data of the indicators. So this is what it looks like. Again, a big Excel sheet that's had out. It opens up showing in yellow the multiple deprivation ranking, and then each column is then the ranking of each of the domains. But again, through filtering, you can select down the local government districts of your interest, and you can sort the areas according to multiple deprivation to get the kind of list that you got on the recards. So these are then your top, your ordered in order of multiple deprivation, the SOAs within Newry-Mourne and Down. When you go down this list, you can find the kind of examples that Tracy talked about. So here we're down in Drumalane 2. Which is ranked 279th in terms of the multiple deprivation. But if we look at the far right of it, we see that it's 58th in terms of crime and disorder. So although it's middle of the table in terms of multiple deprivation, there is a specific problems or issues there that might need addressed. At the bottom of the sheet, you'll see the different tabs to go into each of the domains. And once you go into the crime domain, you can see the ranks of each of those seven indicators that are there, going from violent crime, burglary, theft, etc. And you can, for each of them, you can see how it's ranked in terms of that particular crime, but also at the far right of that list, you can see the actual rates of crimes, so that's number of crimes, I believe, in the last 5 years per 1,000 population. So we'll give you a bit of a picture. So as you can see, there's a lot of information that you can delve in, and even if you're not in the top 100, that you can explore to see whether there's some particular issues that can be addressed in that. Finally, what we have on the income domain, we have the proportion of the population that is living in households whose income is below a certain threshold. So in this case, we're looking at Newry-Mourne and Down. You'll see that those 14 SOAs are in the top 100 as far as that's concerned. But we also published the same similar numbers for the number of children or the proportion of children, which will bring it down to 12 SOAs that are in the top 100, and indeed for the older population, so that's the age 65 and over. So we have lots of different measures if that's your particular interest. So it's a bit of a ramble, but it's just because of so much information there that's there to really explore. It's all on our website, and we'd encourage you all to have a look and have a play around with it. So that brings us to the questions.
Okay, thank you very much for that. There's an awful lot of information there. Has anyone got any questions that they would like to put? Oh, sorry, Cadogan.
I must say, Boundaries is very useful in funding applications where you're able to stand up your applications with direct reference to statistics. Although I do find that in some of the worst areas, in my Downpatrick, Lacaille DEA, we do have statistics masked by, because you do it at a higher level than village level. You can have situations where, say, for instance, Ballyhornan, which would surely rank very close to the top, and 33% of its buildings derelict, the income deprivation, off the scale, health, access to services, but it's completely masked by Saul or Strangford. And it's a flaw in methodology, certainly in rural areas, because you do get a situation whereby villages in particular SOAs do have dramatically different outcomes, and there's no way of proving that then when you're going for funding. But I must say, overall, it's a great tool, and I congratulate you for it.
obvious. Come on, Mary, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for that. I don't know that particular area, but one thing that we are intending to do, I hope you picked up on it, is produce the same data where we can for small areas. So we call small areas what used to be in the old money census output areas. Oh, no, what are they? Census output areas. So census output areas nest within SOAs. So the SOAs are just our first product, if you like. We're continuing to work where we can to produce a small area level that we can get to while protecting confidentiality. So it may well be when we produce those, and it'll be before the end of March this year, that you can have a look and see, well, that, does that get closer to that area that you described, which is obviously at variance with the other more affluent areas in the SOA. So we are providing a different product that gets down, hopefully, to the pockets of deprivation.
Okay. Thank you for that, Tracy. Terry?
Hi, thanks, Chair, and thank you for the presentation and the say. An awful lot of information in it. Just on the card here that we were using here, the really the entire DEA that I represent on income and allotted access to services and all that is all very high in this. Thank God on crime and disorder we're not registered on at all. But it's great to have this information, but there actually needs to be more help and support for these wards to get out of this. You know, and I think even the council here is a big part to play and needs to do more for that. But access to services and all that, it's very hard to come out of this. Like, we have a situation in that entire part of South Armagh where we have great facilities in Uri, and the young people can't access them because we don't have a bus service, and the bus service is it's not viable. It doesn't make them enough money, so they won't run it. So, like, I know your job is putting this together, and it's fantastic for us to have this information. And there's not enough in the when it comes to applying for funding and that, there's not enough points for these wards that's in this deprivation to help them to get out of it and that. So, like, it's great to have the information. I know you've put a lot of work into it, but there's a big part for everyone else to play, of all of the statutory bodies to play to help improve this.
There's no doubt about that. I absolutely completely agree with you. And access to services is a very difficult one because you can't change the rurality of areas. But I suppose it allows you to apply for extra rural, rural bus services to a larger extent than there is now. The broadband's a very interesting one, though, because the broadband indicator that's used in this deprivation measure is around broadband of a speed of 10 MPH, what are they, megabytes per second? So 10, now that's actually quite low in the grand scheme of things. The Programme for Government indicator is aspiring to have everybody at 40 megabytes per second. So even if you're showing as a little bit less than deprived at 10, you know, everyone has a long way to go on that. So I would say that gives you good evidence to try and get companies to come and improve the broadband in rural areas. That's it. Yeah. Well, in the Programme for Government, broadband is one of the things that they will be addressing. So, thank
you. Okay. Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Chair. Jesse, I was just wondering how were the domain titles decided upon?
Okay. Well, the domain titles have been the same, except for access to services. Domain titles have been the same for all four iterations. So we didn't change the domain titles from way back the first time Noble did it. And in fact, if I'm right, they're also the same as GB, where they can be.
There's some degree of overlap, but they might have slightly different names, but the. The broad grouping of it would be broadly similar. For example, living environment, I think some is sometimes called housing quality only. So by and large, they all have income, they all have employment, they all have health and education.
So on the access to services, though, we did change that this year. In 2010 and previous years, it was called Proximity to Services. And the steering group felt that the inclusion of the broadband indicator didn't really meet the proximity kind of measure, so we did make a decision to change that to access to services timelines.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Carr.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Again, it is a very informative, though complicated at times, presentation. I've had an issue with the indices over a good number of years. I think it first came out maybe in 2001 or thereabouts. That's 18 years into the process. And like you said, 50 or 60% of the top 100 are still there this year as they were last year, as they were in 2001. Yet we target an awful lot of funding towards those deprived areas, deprived wards. Do we ever see a time where, with all those millions pumped into those areas, that they're not deprived anymore, or that it helps their deprivation score?
Well, so I suppose the difficulty is we don't have the counterfactual to know what would have happened to those areas if they hadn't been supported. But hiding behind my statistical hat for a bit, I guess that's for the policy makers to use these numbers to try and address. But what I would say is reiterate the point that we're making, which is that for a lot of years, funders have just gone to the top 20% multiple deprivation measure areas. And you'll see those areas in the booklet, and funded those for all types of policy, yeah, regardless of whether it was an education policy or a transport policy or health policy. And what we're saying, and what I have said when I gave this presentation to the Permanent Secretaries, is don't do that anymore. It's not sensitive enough. What you should be doing is looking at the other domains and targeting policy-related funding for each of those areas on the most deprived, for education, for health, for services, so that it isn't taking this blanket approach, because there's no doubt that has been what I did say to them, what I felt was it was a bit of a lazy way of targeting money. And they were very supportive of that approach, and I do think, and I hope, that we this time round use the numbers a little bit more intelligently to target better specific policies on specific areas, and that's part of why we built in 6 months for this project to do this kind of outreach. This is the beginning of the outreach, and we've got another few months to go in terms of really getting into the middle of it and training people, but there wasn't that kind of 6 months built in before. But we felt that in order for people to get the best out of these numbers, which you absolutely point out are complicated and not easy, we needed to have the time to get people comfortable with them, to be able to use them in a more targeted way.
Thank you, Tracy. Okay. Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. And as a former NISRA employee, I can fully appreciate the work that has to go into such figures to be produced in statistics. Tracy, just a couple of questions, and obviously I hope the presentation that you've went through can be made available to all councillors, because there was some good tips there for people to go out afterwards and actually be interactive with the data and actually use it to their advantage. Just a couple of things. So you answered one, the small areas focused, so the 4,500, the time frame is before the end of March, you're saying. So it would be interesting to see which areas they're focused on. The measure for the children, just wanting a bit more information around what particular elements of that is being considered. And then the domains, I totally agree, it should be more aligned and targeted. But where you mentioned about broadband, I'm not sure if the government's targeting 40 megabytes right across all of Northern Ireland. BT's actually committed to deliver 0.1 of a meg, and if they deliver that to a household, contractually they are meeting their target of that. But yeah, just the children, the small areas, and then obviously the presentation.
Start with the children one. So I've already showed you the income deprivation affecting children. So that's been measured in the last, I think even the last to multiple deprivation measures. What we now want to do is go beyond that, so bring in some of the other data that we've already collected as part of the overall multiple deprivation. So get the information on health affecting children, on education, obviously. But we just need to look carefully at exactly how that's going to work, because some would be more obvious than others. I mean, we'd already talked about the access to services should be based solely on public transport, as children can drive, or should it be a different mix or a different weighting of that? So, but we're aiming to do that within the information we already have. Some of it might not be possible. For example, in terms of crime, we don't have the age of the victim, so we can't say the crimes affecting children, but still, children living in an area with lots of crime are still, you know, maybe similarly affected as other people, but we haven't got to that level of detail yet.
Yeah, and just on that, sorry, to in this part of the measure, what are you defining as a child? What is the age range that you're defining?
What we do is not to 15, so that is the what's been used for the income deprivation.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I don't have see any other lights on at this stage.
Sure, just maybe one just thought of it there. I know you take your stats from your local government districts. The scandalous new proposed boundary changes, you know, you get an area like when given spit in the tree. Does that skew your figures in any way, or will it skew your figures in any way?
The new areas?
Yeah.
Which ones are those? Is that the new parliamentary constituencies? The new parliamentary cities are going to be built up from the new wards. So that's the wards that already make up the local government district councils. So by eventually for ourselves to produce estimates for those new wards, we should be able to similarly as the maps has done, to highlight a different area and show you which are the new wards that are within that and the deprivation that's there.
Okay, councillors, again, I don't think we see any other lights on. I know we will all have access to that information, and it's something. And Councillor Burton.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. No, just a question. Are we taking the paper with Alan and Johnny now for questions directly to the council, or is it just the general questions to the Nisra? Because the way I read it with the two documents here, that's what is general questions. There was no point in me sitting and asking questions about strategies or policies from the council to those who came up with the general overall stats.
Sure. For clarification, that paper that was probably prepared by Alan suggested you with the briefing. So, you know, the idea would be that you'd have the assessments from in relation to the data so they have to use for your
account. Okay. Well, just on that point, Chair, if you don't mind. Yeah, I'd like to thank you for the stats as well, and I suppose my frustration is, as someone who teaches statistics, my frustration is, being all over the stats, I love it, but it's what we do with it. And over the last 10 years, we're looking from 2010 to 2017, and seeing a number of the areas, and especially right across the DA that I represent in City Bullion, where if you even have looked at the map there, completely in red, that we're stuck in the top 100 or top, you know, 50 to 70 most deprived areas. And it's where how policy needs to get us out of that. It's not working. It's simply not working. I have had frustrations with this council over the last 2 years where we've devised policy after policy after policy strategy, where you are banging your head of a wall talking about how it's the criteria of the policy, urban and rural, is all rolled into one. And we end up just sort of arguing whether it's about the play strategy, the mugger strategy, and that's all free play. And if we're talking about income support and Sleek Gullion, and if you look at Sleek Gullion income support, 1, 2, 3, and 5 is my area, where you have households less than 60% of the average income in Northern Ireland. So it's, I suppose what you say, if we're looking at these domains, and we can target, instead of generally just putting funding in and saying, yes, there's the top 20% of the most deprived areas across Northern Ireland, funding should go there. It's how the funding is used. You know, the top, the areas that I'm talking about, the top 20%, is that because of income and employment? Well, if it is, we need to tackle that. And that's, I suppose, a number of the frustrations that I have, that we, how are areas over the last 10 years stuck on this index and not moving? You know, there's something really not working. We talked about even there, the draft, the budget, and I know I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I just want to paint a picture here. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I think it's very, very important. We're looking at different things and decisions made by council and made by government, where you're talking even about draft budgets. We're simply not even rural-proofed. Now, I've read in this document that you've produced here that it's right across Northern Ireland. All rural areas are pretty much the same. You know, there's some equivalence across all rural areas. Well, that doesn't really comfort me, you know, in an area, a rural area that I come from, that it's the same as other rural areas up in Derry or whatever. So I suppose with these stats, it's what we do with it. It's fantastic having all this information. We are, and I know I have for the last 2 years been shouting about, you know, some of these indicators for South Armagh. It's what we do with it. So if we move towards in the domains that we're looking at, yes, is it income? Is it employment? And what are we doing there as a council, a local government, and at government level? But the frustration of the last 10 years of some of these areas not being moved out is plain to see. So while I welcome the statistics, I would ask that council, local government, actually take on board the figures that are here and stop, you know, just muting that, yes, we see the indicators here. Let's act on them. When the strategies put together, let's make sure that the strategies are rural-proofed. The policies are rural-proofed. Let's make sure, as Councillor Harty had said, that there is all these facilities that the council are delivering and we're pushing people's rates up, that we can access them, because that's probably one of the things as well. Access to public services, access to leisure centres, you know, especially for families on low income, access in leisure centres, and the knock-on effect to mental health and the whole lot. So these stats, I welcome them, but it's basically the point I want to get across is local government and government to act on the stats. And not be sitting here in 10 years' time looking at the same areas in the top 50. Thanks very much.
I completely agree with you. That's why we've done it this way. So it's nothing. Yeah, I completely agree.
Okay, folks. Listen, we'll wind it up because I know it is very cold, and I believe it has started to snow down in around Meath and South Armagh. So, safe journey home, everybody. And I would just like to thank you for giving up your time to come here tonight. It's much appreciated. Okay, folks. Yeah.